The phone call does not come with panic at first. It comes calm, polite, a delay, a form still processing a routine issue. The kind retirees are told not to worry about. But the money does not arrive. Days stretch, then weeks, then silence. Retirement accounts meant to last decades are suddenly unreachable. Statements that once showed steady growth stop making sense. Withdrawals are postponed. Explanations change. What was safe yesterday is now unclear today. For more than 60 people, this is the moment the ground shifts. Savings built over entire working lives begin to feel unreal, like numbers that never existed outside a screen. Questions stack up with no answers. Where is the money? Who moved it? Why can no one show proof? What starts as a delay turns into dread. What sounds like miscommunication begins to feel intentional. And by the time the truth surfaces, it is no longer about investments. It is about trust. And what happens when it disappears along with everything meant to protect the future? Chapter 1, The Promise of Safety. The pitch always starts the same way, calm, measured, no urgency, just reassurance. For retirees across Virginia, the message is simple. Your money should not be working hard anymore. It should be resting, preserved, protected from swings and shocks, safe. Many of the people who listen have already done their part. Decades on job sites, in offices, on factory floors, in classrooms. They are not chasing growth. They are guarding what remains. The firms presenting themselves understand that tone. They do not speak in hype. They do not promise quick returns. They promise stability. One meeting leads to another, a recommendation from a friend, a name passed quietly at church at a civic gathering over coffee. The advisors dress conservatively. They speak plainly. They listen more than they talk. They describe conservative strategies, low exposure, long-term preservation, the kind of planning meant for people who cannot afford mistakes anymore. Two firms surface again and again in these conversations, Cavalier Union and Black Bull Wealth. To clients, they do not appear aggressive or risky. They present themselves as careful stewards, guides for the final financial stretch of life. The paperwork looks legitimate. Account statements arrive on schedule. Numbers move slowly, just enough to signal progress without excitement. No wild gains, no alarming dips. For many clients, that is exactly the point. Trust builds quietly. Advisors remember names. They ask about grandchildren. They follow up after meetings. They return calls. Clients begin with partial transfers, a test run, a portion of savings moved over to see how the process works. Everything appears smooth, no friction. No red flags. Later, larger decisions follow. Some roll over entire retirement accounts. Others consolidate scattered funds, believing fewer accounts mean less confusion. A handful place nearly everything they have earned into what they believe is a final, careful plan. They are not reckless people. They ask questions. They want explanations. They are told the money is placed conservatively, that it is shielded from unnecessary exposure, that the structure is designed to protect principal first, return second. Statements continue to arrive. The format is professional, the language reassuring. Balances appear steady. For a while, nothing feels wrong. Then small delays begin to surface. A client requests documentation tied to a routine rollover. The request is acknowledged but not fulfilled. Another asks for a clarification on where funds are held. The answer comes verbally, not in writing. These moments do not immediately raise alarm. Retirement planning often involves waiting. Paperwork moves slowly. Institutions take time. Advisors explain that processing windows vary, that certain confirmations take longer, that back offices handle details. Clients accept these explanations because nothing else seems out of place. They still see statements. They still hear familiar voices on the phone. They still believe their money is where it should be. But questions start to repeat. One client notices a withdrawal takes longer than expected. Another hears a different explanation than the one given weeks earlier. A third is told to wait just a little longer for confirmation that never arrives. Each issue taken alone seems manageable. Together, they begin to create unease. Some clients ask more directly. They request specific records. They want proof that funds are held in the conservative instruments they were promised. The answers grow less precise. Instead of documents, there are assurances. Instead of confirmation, there are delays, processing issues, system transitions, administrative backlogs. Clients begin comparing notes. At first, they do it quietly. A call to a friend who mentioned the same firm, a casual question after a meeting. Have you had any trouble? Did your paperwork come through? The answers are not identical, but they rhyme. Most of the clients are not financial experts. They rely on trust and consistency. They rely on the expectation that institutions handling retirement funds operate with transparency. That expectation starts to crack. Some clients attempt partial withdrawals to test liquidity. The requests are acknowledged but not completed. Others are told the timing is not ideal, that moving funds now could disrupt long-term positioning. Advisors urge patience. They emphasize calm. They remind clients that these are not day trading accounts, that retirement planning requires steadiness. The language is persuasive because it matches what clients already believe, but patience begins to feel different when answers do not arrive. One client presses harder. They request written confirmation of holdings, not summaries, not explanations, actual documentation. The response is courteous, polite, vague. It will take time, then weeks. Phone calls are returned, but with little substance. Emails receive acknowledgments, not answers. Clients begin to sense that something is off, but they do not yet know what. They still believe the problem may be administrative. They still assume the money exists somewhere, waiting to be confirmed. What they do not know is whether the problem is delay or disappearance. Trust erodes slowly, not with a single moment, but through accumulation. Each unanswered question adds weight. Each postponed confirmation tightens pressure. For retirees, uncertainty carries a specific fear. There is no second career waiting, no extra decades to recover losses. Time is not on their side. Still, many hesitate to assume wrongdoing. The idea feels too extreme, too disruptive. It is easier to believe there has been a mistake. Some continue to defend the firms when family members express concern. They explain that finance is complicated, that paperwork is slow, that advisors have always been responsive in the past. Others quietly worry at night. They replay conversations, they reread statements, they try to remember exactly what was promised. What stands out is not greed or ambition, it is vulnerability. These are people who believe they were doing the responsible thing, choosing safety over risk, preservation over growth. As questions mount, advisors continue to reassure. They urge calm, they promise updates, they ask for patience, just a little longer. The clients wait because they want to believe. But waiting begins to feel dangerous. One request becomes pivotal. A client asks for documentation tied to a routine transfer, a simple paper trail, nothing extraordinary. The response comes back familiar, processing delay, back office issue, give it more time. This time the explanation does not settle, because by now the pattern is clear, answers do not arrive, clarifications do not come in writing. Every request leads to another pause. For the first time, the client considers a possibility they have been avoiding. What if the delay is not the problem? What if the problem is that the money is not where it was supposed to be? The thought lands hard, not as panic, but as dread. This is the moment the story shifts, not into proof, not into confrontation, but into suspicion. And suspicion, once planted, does not leave quietly. The clients do not yet know how deep the damage goes. They do not know how many others are asking the same questions. They do not know what explanations will survive scrutiny. All they know is that the certainty they were promised has vanished. And in its place is silence that lasts too long to ignore. Chapter 2, the money is gone. The first confirmation does not come from the firms. It comes from absence. Withdrawals stall. Partial payments appear, then stop. Clients are told funds are being repositioned, that timing matters, that markets require patience. The explanations arrive quickly. The proof does not. Some retirees escalate their requests. They ask for transaction histories. They ask where the money is held now. Not strategy, not projections. Location, the answers shift. 1 week, funds are described as temporarily moved for protection. Another week, they are said to be tied up in instruments that require notice to unwind. The language stays confident, but it no longer stays consistent. A few clients begin documenting everything. Dates, calls, names, promises, they save emails, they keep notes after phone conversations. What once felt unnecessary now feels essential. The first outside questions begin quietly. A client contacts a regulator to ask a narrow question. Not an accusation, just clarification. The response is careful, but it introduces a new idea. Certain transactions should leave records. Certain structures should be verifiable. Those records are not appearing. As inquiries widen, attention shifts from reassurance to reconstruction. Investigators begin tracing where money was supposed to go versus where it actually moved. Bank records become central, so do internal transfers. What emerges is not a picture of conservative placement. Funds that clients believed were invested safely appear to have been routed elsewhere. Accounts move money between related entities. Transfers lack clear justification tied to client agreements. The trail does not match the story told to retirees. The discovery spreads unevenly. Some clients learn early. Others remain in the dark, still waiting on promised updates. When word spreads, it does so through shock. People compare notes, statements no longer align, dates conflict, explanations contradict one another. Regulatory scrutiny intensifies. Investigators request transaction histories. They examine how money entered the system and how it moved once inside. The focus shifts from individual complaints to patterns. What looks like delay to one client looks like diversion when viewed in aggregate. The scale becomes impossible to ignore. More than 60 people appear affected. Retirees, couples, individuals who believed their savings were being preserved, not repositioned into unknown channels. The losses add up quickly. Millions, not thousands. As estimates form, the number approaches $10 million. For many victims, the realization is physical. Nausea, sleeplessness, a sudden awareness that the future they planned may no longer exist. Some confront representatives directly. They demand explanations face to face. The responses vary: confusion, deflection, claims of misunderstanding. No one produces clear documentation showing the money sitting where it was promised. Partial repayments surface in isolated cases, small amounts, just enough to suggest access still exists, not enough to restore confidence. Investigators grow more direct. They ask not just where the money is, but why it moved. They compare client agreements to actual transfers. They look for separation between client funds and operational accounts. That separation appears blurred. As pressure increases, communication from the firms becomes strained. Calls are returned less consistently. Messages grow shorter. Some clients are told their concerns are being escalated internally. Nothing comes back down. The question shifts from whether something went wrong to whether it was intentional. Was this mismanagement that spiraled out of control, or was it a structure designed to move money under the cover of safety? That distinction matters legally, it matters morally, and it matters to victims trying to understand how this happened to them. For retirees, intent almost feels secondary. The impact is immediate either way. Savings meant to fund healthcare, housing, and daily life are now uncertain. Plans are suspended, purchases delayed. Some begin calculating how long they can last without access to funds they believed were available. Family conversations change tone. Adult children ask harder questions. Spouses argue over decisions already made. Guilt settles in. Victims replay the early days, the calm meetings, the steady statements, the reassurance that nothing risky was happening. Now they see the signs they missed. Delayed paperwork, verbal explanations without records. The way questions were smoothed over instead of answered. Regulators and investigators begin formalizing their findings. They identify where money cannot be accounted for. They separate confirmed transfers from explanations that do not hold up. What they cannot find becomes as important as what they can. Large portions of client funds are no longer traceable to legitimate investment placements tied to individual accounts. The money is not sitting intact, waiting to be returned. It has moved, and where it has moved does not align with what clients were told. For victims, this is the breaking point. Hope that the problem is administrative fades. The belief that a delay will resolve quietly disappears. What replaces it is anger, fear, and a need for accountability. Some victims band together. They share timelines. They compare losses. They realize the scope is larger than any one of them imagined. The realization cuts deep. This was not a single mistake affecting a single account. This was systemic. Investigators confirm that the money is no longer where it was supposed to be. Not temporarily, not pending transfer. Gone. That word settles over the case with weight. Gone does not mean misplaced. It does not mean delayed. It means unavailable. For retirees, that reality reframes everything. It is no longer about returns. It is about survival. As the investigation continues, authorities acknowledge a grim truth. Even if responsibility is established, recovery is uncertain. Money that has been moved, spent, or dissipated may not come back. The question looming now is not whether something went wrong. It is how much damage has already been done, and whether anything can be recovered before time and trust run out completely. Chapter 3. after the silence. The end does not arrive with a dramatic announcement. It arrives in documents. Findings are written carefully. Language is measured. Every conclusion is tied to records that exist and gaps that cannot be filled. Investigators separate what can be proven from what remains alleged, line by line, transaction by transaction. For the victims, the distinction matters less than the outcome. They learn how much is gone. Not estimates, not ranges, actual numbers tied to their names. Balances that once defined security are replaced with figures that define loss. For some, it is a portion of their savings. For others, it is nearly everything. Retirement plans collapse under that weight. Trips are canceled. Homes meant to be downsized are put back on the market. Medical procedures are postponed. Some victims quietly return to work, not because they want to, but because they have to. Others cannot. Age limits options. Health limits stamina. The future narrows fast when the money meant to protect it disappears. Legal and regulatory actions move forward within defined boundaries. Findings identify misconduct that can be supported by evidence. Other actions remain allegations where proof falls short. The process is deliberate, slow, and frustrating for people who have already waited too long. There is no single moment of closure. Victims attend meetings where outcomes are explained. They listen as officials outline what is known and what cannot be undone. They hear words like restitution, recovery potential, and asset tracing. They also hear limits. Some money may be recovered, some may not. The reality is stated plainly. Funds that have been moved through multiple channels or spent cannot simply be reversed. The room absorbs that truth unevenly. Some victims react with anger, others with numb acceptance. A few hold on to hope that more will be found later. What none of them receive is restoration. The financial damage becomes personal in ways no report can fully capture. Marriages strain under stress. Adult children step into roles they never expected, helping parents navigate budgets that no longer work. Pride gives way to necessity. Shame follows quietly. Many victims blame themselves for trusting, for not pushing harder, for believing reassurance over proof. They replay early conversations in their minds, the tone, the confidence, the promise that their money was safe because it was not chasing risk. Experts later explain the warning signs. Pressure to rely on verbal explanations, delays framed as routine, statements that show stability without transparency. Structures that discourage independent verification. None of those signs felt urgent at the time. Taken together, they now appear obvious. The case leaves a wider mark beyond the immediate victims. Trust in retirement advisors erodes. People who were not affected begin questioning their own arrangements. Conversations shift from growth to verification. Where is the money actually held? Who can confirm it independently? What happens if access is needed quickly? The industry absorbs another blow to credibility. For regulators and investigators, the case becomes a reference point, a reminder that schemes do not always look reckless. Sometimes they look conservative, safe, boring, exactly what retirees want. Victims are left navigating an altered future. Some find partial recovery through legal processes. Others receive nothing beyond confirmation that their losses are real and permanent. Time passes, but the damage does not fade. Retirement, once imagined as a period of rest, becomes a calculation. How long can savings last now? What can be cut? What cannot? The emotional cost lingers. Trust once broken does not return easily. Victims approach future decisions with suspicion. Some avoid financial advisors entirely. Others insist on layers of oversight that feel exhausting but necessary. The sense of betrayal runs deeper than money. They trusted professionals to guard what they could no longer rebuild. That trust was not just misplaced, it was exploited. In the aftermath, the question shifts again, not who is responsible. That has been addressed as far as evidence allows, not how it happened, that has been mapped. The question becomes how many others are still unaware. How many retirees elsewhere are seeing steady statements and hearing calm voices while their money moves somewhere they do not expect? How many delays are being accepted as routine? How many explanations are trusted without proof? Those questions do not have clean answers. What remains is a caution written in lives, not headlines. Retirement funds are not abstract numbers. They represent time that cannot be reclaimed, labor that cannot be repeated, years already spent earning the right to rest. When that is taken, the loss does not end with the balance. It reshapes the future. And for more than 60 people in Virginia, that future now carries a permanent mark. Not because they took risks. but because they believed they were safe.